גם זרגו איסי חכמו תחס השמש וגדולו היא אליי. I found the truth about חכמו תחס השמש, and it's very very significant. עיר קטנה, if you have a small city, ואנושם בו מעט, and in the city there are very very few people. Ovoi lehom melech godol, and a great king comes against the city, the sovavaisa, and surrounds it. Uvono lehom mitzodim gedolim, and he builds huge bulkwoods over it, in other words, the implements of siege. And they're in trouble because they're a small city, and they're in big danger. Umotzava ish miskein chacham. But in the city, there was a poor man, but he was wise. Umilatu esu'ir b'chachmosa. And he saved the city in his wisdom. In other words, he came up with a plan, and somehow this plan thwarted the intention of the Melech Gadol, and so the city was saved. So what would you expect? They expect that they'd go to the Ish Miskin and they'd give him a medal, or they'd make him into the mayor. But what happened? Nobody remembered him. In other words, in all the celebrations, the parades which they made when they finally were saved from the attack, nobody remembered the Miskin. Nobody remembered the poor man. Vomati oni tovo chachma migvura. Well, wisdom is a lot better than might, because the king who surrounded the city was mighty, and here there was a little bitsy person in the city who was smart, and chachma samisken bezuya, but the wisdom of the poor is looked down upon. Udvarav enom nishmoim. Why not? Because divrei chachamim benachas nishmoim. The words of the wise come very quietly, and a lot quieter than the zakas moishel baksilim. In the ksilim, the moishlim, they make a lot of noise. The chachamim, quiet. Divrei chachamim benachas nishmoim. Toiv chachma mikle krav. So wisdom is a lot better than weapons. But one sinner can ruin a great deal. So what are the nakudas which Kehelis is making over here? What are the points? It says he discovered something enormous about wisdom. It's gedoylo he married. What did he find out about it? Well, first of all, a very depressing thing, that whereas we would expect wisdom to be honored for its own sake, it turns out that it's not. That there's a tendency by people to not honor the wisdom, but to check who's saying it. And if the person who's saying the wisdom, saying the wise thing, is a miskin, is a poor person, so he's not choshev. Why? Because his dvorim come benachas, and people are more attuned to listen to the noise, to listen to the bangings. So nobody's going to ask this miskin again in the future. If he comes up and says something, maybe they listen for a few moments. But essentially, his position doesn't change in the city. He remains a bozoi. That's a krenk which all of us have. And I think that it's a very, very much at the bottom of a lot of our problems. We tend not to judge wisdom on its own terms, but from whom we hear it. Mishnah says anders. Mishnah says, Eiseh Chacham, Haloimet Mikol Odom, Kol Melamda Hiskaltim. Kabbalah Sa'emes Mimisha Amra. See, there's we have a problem. And really, it makes sense that it is a problem. It makes sense that it should be a problem. But it often happens in life that there's a problem and you throw up defenses against the problem, and then you forget that they were just defenses against the problem and weren't values in themselves. But you begin to value them as arochim in themselves, and then you build up a whole philosophy, you build up a whole derech achayim based on a bedi'evet. What do I mean? I mean that it's very, very wise not to be too self-reliant. Ve'el binosra al tisho'en. I think the Rosh says in the Ochos HaChaim. See, it's very easy to go krum in things also. If somebody were to say, okay, I'm not going to ask anybody anything. I'm going to make my own judgments, and I'm going to decide, and if it appeals to me, I'll act on it, and if it doesn't appeal to me, I won't act on it, and everybody else can go fly a kite. I'm going to do exactly what I think is right or wrong. Now, such a person is probably going along a very dangerous path. He's not smart. Because to be showing completely on one's own bina, on one's own understanding of things, is risky. Why is it risky? Because, depends. If it's something which is not nagea to me, and it's not nagea to anybody, and it's a purely theoretical shaila, well then you're not risking anything, because nothing comes out of what you're thinking. But if it's something that concerns one at all, so then there is a chashash of nagias. In other words, there is a very real chashash that the person will reach the conclusion not which is objectively correct, but the conclusion which is most comfortable for him, which he enjoys, which allows him, let's say, to continue on a certain derech hachayim, which doesn't make waves. We're all very interested in that. And that's the way our minds work. Hashochad yaver enei chachamim. And when we are meshuchad, we tend to make wrong judgments. And if a puter can be meshachad us, so where our whole life is in the balance, that's worth a great deal to us. And the odds are that we can become meshuchad. So, it's a good idea to not be showing on one's bina in dvorim which are oimdim berumah shel olam, in important things. Maybe you're making a wrong cheshbon. Not exactly a cause of that whatever you think is right. That shit can also be taken to the wrong direction if I apply that to other people. See, if I apply it to myself, that's fine. In other words, always to suspect myself of having the gears and of not seeing things straight. I can make a mistake when I apply that to other people. For example, Chazon Ish talks about that in the Emunah B'Tochen. So sometimes you hear people say, well, I don't have to listen to this Rosh Hashiva, to this Godel, because he is Nageya. Means he says this or that Deya, and sometimes people won't listen. They say, well, why should we listen? Everybody's got his own interest. This guy has his yeshiva to support, or he has his position to support as a leader, whatever it is, and so he has Nageyas. So therefore I have no guarantee that he's telling the Amos, or that his day is correct, that what he's telling us is the right thing. You have people telling you that. And you tell them, what do you mean? There's an Indian of Emunas Chachamim, Gedolei Yisrael, our Manhigim, we have to listen to what they say. So they say, what are you talking about? The Pasuk and the Torah. Yashaychat Yaveh Enei Chachamim Yisalev Divrei Tzadikim. So the Pasuk is Meshachat. So I'm not saying more than the Torah says. So the Chazon Ish is, that's a toss. That's a mistake. So it's not Emes. Says, why is it not Emes? Says, because Shaychat, it's not Be'etzem Me'aveh. Says, in Mishunetik, important you saw it. He says, Shaychat is not Be'emes Me'aveh. There's no psychological truth that if I have an interest in something, I can't see the truth. It's not Emes. A Raya. Raya is that a person is allowed to paskin shailas for himself if he knows the halacha, if he's an Odom Godel and he knows what the halacha is. He can paskin shailas for himself. He's not geared to millions of dollars. Let's say you have a Geisa Talmud Chacham who owns a liquor business. All right? Comes along Pesach. The shaila ring chometz shovel of a Pesach. Whiskey is chometz. So let's say that he sold his store, sold his stock for Pesach. So it shouldn't be chometz shovel of a Pesach. Shouldn't be over this of Yerov Val Yimotze. And it's machzach hashayil on the sale, whether this was done right, whether that what was done right. Is he allowed to pass in the shayla? Sure, he's allowed to pass in the shayla. Sits down, his ma'ayin in the sforim, his ma'ayin in the halacha, and he paskins. How can he pass in the shayla? Ha-shoychad ya'ave enei chachomim, yisalev divrei tzadikim. How can he pass in? The answer is, why not? It's an elech yid. Chaznish is mazbir, what's the pshat? Like, why Taka doesn't he have to be choshet himself? That he has in the gears. That he has in the gears. The money is important to him. So maybe Taka is going to come out with the wrong answer. And he's going to sweep a little kashya under the cup and say, but maybe that's okay. Zakta Chazon Ish, because he has another negias. He has a counter negias. His biggest negias is to do the Ratzon Hashem. So what's a bigger negias by him? The negias to do the Ratzon Hashem or the negias to have money? So by Choshev Yid, the negias to be an Eved Hashem is bigger. It's the biggest negias that he has. So Mimela, he can sit down, he can pass in the Shaila, and end by what does the Torah mean when the Torah says Ki Hashoychad Yaveh Einei Chachamim? So that's Gzeiros HaKosov in Mishpat. And there's a Dayan who's paskening a din between litigants. He's a Shoyfet, he's a Mishpat, Dine Mominus. So there the Torah asked L'sikach Shoychad. So it's an Avera to take Shoychad. Once it's an Avera to take Shoychad, if you take Shoychad, you're being over an Avera. You're being over an Avera, then the natural Shmira, which your Ehrlichkeit would normally grant you, becomes dissipated. And then you can do Kol Dover Asa in the world, and Kol Mine Shtuyot, because now you Taka don't have that Siyata Dishmai anymore. It didn't Avera, the Torah Asad Shaychat. The Chazon Ish is Masbir, Ki HaShaychat Ya'ave Enei Chachamim is not that any interest which a person has in a shaila will, by definition, lead him astray. Not ever. If it's also to have that negias, and you don't divest yourself from it, or you accept what you mustn't accept, then you're in trouble. Aber be'etzem, to say that a negias, as negias, ruins your chances to reach the right conclusion, that's simply not true, provided, of course, you have the counter-negias of being an Elechayit, and that counter-negias is strong by you and can counteract. Aber das ist gesagt geworden an Geisse Elche Jeden, people who attacke Gedeile Yisrael, by whom the Rotzon to do what Hashem wants them to do is takke preemptive. That's their biggest Rotzon, their biggest craving in the world is to do what Hashem wants them to do, not to do anything which Hashem would be angry with. So what are you going to do? They're going to sell their soul for $1 million? Not kedai. They know that the soul is worth more than $1 million. So memele, they're allowed to pasken their shayles, even though they have negiyos. Unless versteht sich b'mokam mishpat. Mishpat, odem korob etzel atzma, korob is posel. Shaychad is also whatever it is. But where it's not a question of mishpat, where it's a question of isa v'heta, they're allowed to. Those of us who are not gedolei Yisrael might be well advised to question themselves. Maybe my negiyos to be an eved Hashem ain't so hard. And maybe when I have a serious involvement, maybe I ought not to rely on my own hachra. That's sensible. If it's a shaila, should I go to college? Shouldn't I go to college? Should I run my life in this way? Should I live my life in that way? Should I go to live in America? Should I go to Eretz Yisrael? Should I do this? Should I do that? There are big, big, big shailas. And very, very negeyadika shailas. And these are shailas which any thinking person ought to ask himself. And like we talked the other day, it's never a given that, for example, a shaila which at one time I was machriya in one direction has necessarily to be correct always. It's very, very possible that a certain hachro which I made may have been correct at one time and may in the meantime have become very, very incorrect. So, surely, these are shailas which a person ought to ask himself, because they are shailas which do influence his whole life. They really, really do. Now, as you make a decision, and very often you make a decision as a young, inexperienced person, and that decision has really big hashlachot for his whole life. He would be well advised to seek guidance, to make sure that he's not being nageya. Making very, very, very big Indian. I still have nightmares, I think, from my own personal experience. After I went to Gateshead, I was in Gateshead for 6 years, and then sort of I decided to change. My chevah, everybody was leaving more or less. So there was a decision. Should I go to America? Should I go to Eretz Yisrael? Which all my chaverim had at the time. And that was a decision which we had to make. We were faced with it. I came here. Some of the others went to Eretz Yisrael. And that's one thing that haunts me very much. I still don't know. I can't say with any kind of certainty why I made that decision. And I'm acutely aware of the fact that my life has changed unbelievably. I'm quite sure that if I would have gone to Eretz Yisrael at the time, I would have become an entirely different person. Now, I'm not making a value judgment. I don't say I would have become necessarily a better person. I don't know. But I would have become very different. That means huge, great, big chunks of life. This was a maisa. I came to America in 52, which is a maisa now of over 30 years, right? So that's a big chunk of life. And coming here was a decision which then set me on a certain mahalach. What I told myself at the time was, wanted to go to learn in Lakewood, wanted to be a Talmud by the Rosh Hashiva, Zera Tzadevrach, Rabban Kotler, or Kosher Cheshbainus. I don't know whether there wasn't a sub-strata of other Cheshbainus, that it's more comfortable in America than in Eretz Yisrael. Why bother learning a new language? Why, right? But these are big nafkaminos. Now, I don't know. I can't tell you. But let's say it was the wrong decision. In other words, let's say when I come after 120 years to the Vedin Chamalu, and they're going to say, my friend, you goofed. And you goofed very badly. In other words, like given these and these and these and these koiches which you had, if you would have gone to Eretz Yisrael, you would have developed them in these directions, and that would have been more pleasing to the Divine Hashem than what you did. Well, that's not going to be funny, if that is going to be. What I mean to illustrate is simply that we do make really, really big decisions, and they do influence a great deal. So, like I said, the svara is, be chosh at yourself. Right? Make pretty sure if you want to go to this yeshiva, and you tell yourself it's because you want to be a Talmud by that and that Rosh Yeshiva, make sure it's taka, that's the reason. And the reason is not because they serve better pizzas around the corner there, or whatever it is. You got to know. So, that's why I say the zehiras in trying to find guidance in how to make a decision is a wise zehiras. It's a geder. The problem arises when we create a shittas hachayim out of that geder and are willing to be mafkir our seichel completely and have no opinions on anything and have no deyos on anything and don't know where I stand. And when somebody asks me, what's about this, what's about that, yeah? What I say in effect is, just hold on a moment, I have to check what was the most recent pronouncement in the Jewish Observer, whatever it is, on the issue. In other words, that to lose one's own anushias, in other words, to be cheshet oneself so much for negias, to be mafke one's mind and to feel that one can't know anything, that's a danger. It's a serious danger. See, a lot of times you hear, get into arguments, too often you hear the argument at the end, well, that's what the Gedolim are saying. In other words, you get yourself painted into a corner and you can't get out. So in the final analysis, you say, well, this is my opinion because this is what the Gedolim say. See, in a lemaisa, what do I do? Shetzer have to do what the Gedolim say, Shetzer. Yeah? But it's not my speak not to understand it. Bacher just told me he got into an argument with somebody. The issue was has the yeshivas versus other yeshivas, right? So his bar machlokes, the person whom he was talking to, was arguing very, very strongly that the ideal is to go to has the yeshiva, right? With all the shittas which are koruch in that. There are yeshivas, which are, you know that. And he was a bracha who was mechunach in a different kind of yeshiva, and he was arguing the other stodim. So I asked him, so well, let me hear what was the discussion, and what were the issues which seemed to, what were you debating? So he said, well, so-and-so said this. I said, oh, so what did you say? I said that. So what did he answer? That. Right? But the end of the argument was that Yana said, well, Achmed, that's what the Gedolim said. Which is okay, but not fully okay. It's very important to be able to articulate. It's very important to know where you stand. Now, I don't say that every bocher of 17 or 18 or 19 must have a finished shitta in every issue under the sun. A lot of times it happens, you go home, especially if you happen to come from either a family or a community where yeshiva isn't so accept it, and people sort of come and challenge you and say, well, what about this or what about that? It's perfectly all right to say, I don't know. Right? This is an area which I haven't learned about. This is an area which I don't know the pros and cons. I can tell you what my Rosh Yeshiva or what my Rabbeim are saying. I cannot tell you why. That's okay too. I mean, nobody can expect reasonably a young bocher to have a finished shitta in every single shaila that can come up in the world. But the other side of that isn't true either, that it's okay not to know anything. It's very good, tov ma'od, to be able to articulate clearly and persuasively why your rabbis are saying what they're saying. See, in the Lemaisa, Shetzuch, you listen. Shiva Zakta Zoy, Gali Sol Zakna Zoy, why do you listen? But Teuro Hivelulma Danitzorich. I have to understand, why is it so? If you hear a psak from somebody about something which is nageya, either because it's nageya directly to you, or because it's a dover ho'aymet b'rumay shel oylam, and people are talking about it, and it's something which a yid should know about if he cares about Klal Yisrael, so then the next step to do is to go and ask, why? What are the reasons? How come this and this counter-svara isn't valid? What about this cheshbon? What about that cheshbon? These are in Yonei Torah. And it's important to know. And therefore, if a person is mevakesh chachma for its own sake, that means taka to know. He wants to know. So by him, it wouldn't be chachmas hamiskein bezuya, that merely because a certain shitta or a certain idea was enunciated by somebody whom I regard, for example, as a miskein, as a poor person. See, miskin doesn't only have to be in money. Miskin can be, like, who are you to tell me that? Like, why should you be able to have an opinion? Who are you? The Mishnah sagt anders, da ist er, chacham aloim in mikol adam. Everybody can have certain insights. Everybody can have certain b'chinas of understanding which escaped me. Why look at the mouth? Look at that which issues out of the mouth. Hear what has to be said. Weigh it. Analyze it. And make a judgment. You feel out of your depth. You don't know enough. Don't make a judgment. Shetza. Right? That's foolish. To have opinions about things that you don't understand. But if it's things that you do understand, then you must be choshet yourself that if you're not interested in being mevara the emes, that it's tamil laziness, you don't care enough about it. That's not good either. It's not good to hide yourself behind, I don't know, that's Azay Zogman. It's not good. It's not good for yourself. It's not good for others. I'll explain to you why it's not good for yourself. Because we do live in this world. We live in among people. And b'derech klal, sooner or later, we will be called upon to defend our ideas, either from a friendly questioner or from an attacking questioner. So, if in the bottom line, what I'm going to tell him is, I really don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing, or why I'm holding, but as a Zogman, that's what I've been taught, and that's what I do, and that's what I hold, it may be okay for the moment. But if you're at all a thinking person, it's going to be nagging you afterwards, and say, well, maybe he's stuck it right. Like, all right, so I got out of that argument, and I said, Sean, that's the way it is. But next week or next year or in 10 years, yeah, you're going to get and ask yourself, well, maybe the guy had a point. That's one aspect of Chachmas HaMiskein B'Zuya. The Chochmas HaMisken is Bezuya in a framework where you look at the person rather than at the Deya. A corollary of that is that Divrei Chachamim B'nachas Nishmoim. And it's sometimes hard to hear the Chachma. Right? I mean, that's a part of the Chochmas HaMisken Bezuya. In other words, why should I listen to this guy? So Mimele, what he says comes across very quietly and is easily ignored. So you have to have a good ear. You have to have a good ear for wisdom. You have to have a good ear, because since it's a klal in Divrei Chachamim that the nachas nishmoim, your ear must be attuned. It's easier to hear the other stuff. There's much more noise about it. An area where this is very nageya is in one of the hardest avoidas that the yeshiva bracha is called upon to do. No? What's the hardest avoida that the yeshiva bracha is called upon to do? The old yeshiva bracha, you should know. What do you find hardest of all? What's your hardest avoida? Huh? Tefillah, okay. It's one hard avoider. What else? What time is it?
Get up in the morning.
Get up in the morning, all right.
Yeah.
All right, it's all Emes. I think, but these are all like bitsy little things. The government, what's really the hardest avoider? What's the hardest avoider?
Learning.
Learning, you're getting close. Yeah, what's so hard about learning? What's really the hardest? Well, I'll tell you what I think the hardest is. I don't know, at least in my experience, and from my observations, I think it's really true, except that it's so hard that you don't even notice that it's hard. And that's learning b'chavrusa. I think that learning b'chavrusa is very, very hard. You ever found them? I'll tell you why I think learning b'chavrusa is very hard. Because of what Kahelis is saying over here. Because we have a tendency of Chochmas HaMisken Bezuya. It's very hard to listen. Very, very hard to listen. And a lot of times, when you get into an argument with your Chavrusa, see, I notice it the whole time. You know, I sit down with the Chavrusa and discuss a sugya. No, I like to do that. So you ever go to Beis HaMedrash, say, oh, you're learning this sugya, let's see what's new. How did you learn this? So one of the chavrusas comes along and says, well, you learned it this and this way. So I ask the other one, is that how you learned it? There's no. So I said, well, you guys better get together, you're learning the chavrusa. Like, didn't you discuss this? So he says like this, and he says like that, and then, to Bishlach, some clarity is attained. What happened before I came over? In other words, why hadn't they gotten together on this before? So I'll tell you what I think is part of the problem. I don't know, well, it's the whole problem, I think it's part of the problem. And it makes learning B'chavrusa really very much of a challenge. Why do I think I know? Because I lived through it. I also went to yeshiva. I also learned b'chavrusa for many years. Tell you what went wrong with me. Maybe you'll recognize some of the problems. Maybe you won't. But I remember very clearly. All right, you sit down. You start learning this subject. So b'derech klal, like in the framework which we're talking, it's mostly or very often a sugi which you haven't learned before. So it's new, the concepts are new. Because you're learning Gemara, the concepts are very complex, very difficult. Many, many of the ideas are very unclear. You can see it in this light, you can see it in a different light, you can understand it like this, you can understand it like that. You know what it is. So you start learning. You start learning with your chavrusa. So you see a certain thing. So it sounds to you like this. This is what the Gemara seems to mean. So you share that with your chavrusa. But now you come up against the problem. And that is as follows. You know that the Rambam says in the Meir Nevuchim, it's partial like that. You know that the first section of the Meir Nevuchim is devoted to defining terms. Just what do certain words mean? And the reason for that is that the Rambam says is that any conversation, any intellectual debate about anything, you're not going to get anywhere unless you agree on the meaning of the terms. See, if we don't agree what a certain word means, we can argue till we're blue in the face, because I'm not going to be able to communicate with you, because you don't understand what I mean when I say a certain word. Okay, so now I understand this in the following way. Kivan shehiget shuv ein achayza amari. Okay, learning Yud Ches Amud Beis. What does that mean? What are its gedorim? What precisely is the psul? So I have a certain idea, but it's the first time I've learned it. So since it's the first time I've learned it, so whatever it is that I think about it is pretty vague. Like I sort of have a feel for what's going on, but not very, very clearly. Now I have a major problem. I have to put that into words, and I have to put that into words which will convey to you precisely what I mean. Which means that I have to convey to you precisely and in precision, because I don't know what I mean. Really, very well. Now, that's very difficult. Even when you have something very clear in your mind, it's not easy to find the right words for it. You think it's easy, try and do it once. Right? In other words, take a complex issue and work out very clearly what it means to you, and then try and put it in words which will convey precisely what you mean. Not easy. But here you are with the chavrusa. He wants to hear, and you want to get on, and you've got to prepare for shiur, and you've got to get on with it. So you say it. So now there are already two imprecisions there. The first one is that the way you understood it in the first place wasn't that clear. The second one is that even what you do understand, you find it hard to convey. Because it's very hard. It takes a lot of thought, and you haven't got the time. So he hears something which disagrees with what he thought when he saw the term. So you get into an argument. And you're arguing. Now here we get into the Chochmas HaMisken Bezuya complex. Because, but why should I listen to you? I know what I'm saying. So that kind of thing leads to the sad truth that a lot of chavrusa learning often produces a lot more heat than light. In other words, there's no real clarity that comes out of it. To be able to be mevatel my das to my chavrusa, in other words, to really, really care what he's saying, to really, really understand what he's trying to get at. That if the words that he's using don't convey something which is absolutely logical to me, to try and figure out what exactly does he mean. Like, does he mean this? Does he mean that? For that, it's very, very important that he shouldn't be a miskain in my eyes. It's a very hard avoider. In other words, for real clarity to come out from a chavrusa learning is a difficult avoider. Now, what am I saying? You shouldn't learn the chavrusa? No, I'm not saying that. Mishnah says that, Braisa rather, right, that dibuk chaverim is a very, very important chelek. It's one of the dvorim shatoyre niknes for him. But what we're learning over here now is that there's some very important yesoidas which you have to do first before you can make it work. Now, I don't think that chavrusa learning is necessarily the ideal form at every particular stage of your learning. I happen to think, for example, that if you're already at a point where you can make a rough learning of the sugya on your own, that means to know the basic issues, you can read, you can translate, I think that's a very good idea to do that on your own long before you ever get to your chavrusa. So that when the give and take with the chavrusa begins, you already have had time to think over a little bit what it is that you want to discuss. In other words, you're not under the pressure of having to deliver right away. You've had time to formulate your thinking. What exactly does this thing mean to me? How will I define it? What is the problem that I want to discuss with my chavrusa? What do I know and what don't I know? What is clear to me? What is unclear? In what area can my chavrusa help me? In what area discussing it with him will only hinder me? So it would be so good to be able to work those things out ahead of time. I think if you were able to do that, you would find that you could increase the efficiency of your chavrusa seder geometrically. That was to use the chavrusa in the most efficient possible way so that it should yield the greatest and best results is not an easy task. I have to think that people enter into this business of chavrusa learning not thinking enough. In other words, there's a lot that you can do, a lot of groundwork that you can work out ahead of time to find out, well, how can I use my chavrusa most efficiently? Mostly, Bochum make a point, and I guess that's how it works out much of the time. So you have your starkste chavrusa of the day in the morning seder. You learn the Ion, you have your best chavrusa in the morning seder. Do you use him best and most efficiently by using him as a jastra? Right? You're seeing the Gemara the first time. So what are you figuring out with him? How do the phrases work out? What do they mean? What exactly is going on? Maybe your chavrusa is good enough that he would be able to help you on a much more advanced level and in a much more intelligent kind of way. So what would be the etzah for that? The etzah for that would be make a leining on your own the night before. Spend an hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, however much time you have. Don't have it, make it. Prepare the Gemara. So then you can have an intelligent discussion. Then you're using your chavrusa not to help you figure out what is Rashi and Tosfos is saying, but already at the next stage, what do they mean by what they're saying? But kol zeh einenu shaveh li, all that won't yield results if you don't have the basic tool, basic ingredient to make chavrusa learning work. And that is that the chavrusa should not be in your eyes between us a miskain. In other words, to value his thinking, to value his insight. Now that's not always easy because a lot of times middos get in the way. Let's say you feel taka that he's schwacher than you are. Maybe the situation is taka sometimes that a bocha knows, he just knows that he's a lot better than his chavrusa, so why should he listen? But that's also not endless, because a lot of times a Kerdebocher was very good, so he's thinking very fast and he misses this or that point. The Chavrusa was a little slower, he's able to have an insight. In other words, not to be nichshal in the yesoid of Chochmas HaMiskein Bezuya. To be kabel eso emes mimi shamra. Big avoid it. Can't stress it enough. You spend years and years and years in yeshiva. So many choshuva parts of your day are spent, let's say, in chavrusa learning. And it's very, very kedai to spend the time, spend a few minutes with your chavrusas, with a rebbe, with somebody, working out how you can do it most efficiently. Are you doing it best? Think what a tragedy it would be if the emes would be that with a little bit of adjustment, you could make the Seder yield X amount more than it really does yield. See, if that happens on one day, it's bad enough. If it happens over a Zman, it's awful. If it happens over a whole yeshiva life, it's tragic. Because that means that the whole learning experience has yielded measurably less than it might have done. And you go through life as a lesser Talmud Chacham, as a lesser Ben Torah, simply because you didn't take the trouble to try and find out how you can make the system work to your advantage. And I said before, it's the hardest avodah which Yeshiva Bacha faces. Some of you said it's harder to get up in the morning, or it's harder to harder to davvet kavana. Of course, that's true, but it's not true. I honestly feel that this is the hardest. See, getting up in the morning, everybody knows you have a yetzer. All right, so you fight that, you get yourself a good alarm clock, you ask somebody to pour cold water on you, it's not an yetzer, right? But to get chavrusa learning straight means to get rid of the middos that stand in the way. It's natural. Or it's tainer that Rav Shem is Yoshev and Mizavik Zivugim. Rav Shem makes Shiduchim. Spends his time making Shiduchim. That's why Baruch Hashem, most Shiduchim are Oile Yofa, husband and wife, get on fine. For Chavrusas, you don't have that sense Yata Deshmaya. And there's taka no guarantee. Two bachim sit down together. It's very easy for the middos to get in the way. You get on my nerves. I don't like your mannerism. I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you think. I don't like the way you are. I don't like who you are. Right? And then I'm supposed to spend whole periods of my life discussing with you and talking with you. You have to get together. Maybe our interests are different. Maybe this thing interests me in the sugya, it doesn't interest you. Can I bring myself to be interested in the path that interests you? Can I be persuasive enough to get you interested in the path that interests me? Sometimes there are no solutions to these things. Then it's not a good chavrusa, then you should switch. Often there are solutions, but then it's worthwhile spending time to find them. I know one Rosh Yeshiva who had a very radical shitta in this. A small yeshiva, and he controlled what was going on. And he tainted that he never allowed a chavrusa to break up. He said, there is no such thing as a chavrusa not working. It's an absolute middos shaila. Fix your middos and you'll be fine. It seems to be a little radical. I'm not sure that I agree with it. But a lot of it is maybe emes. But then again, you can't blame yourself also. You're not a rasha. Like, people do have middos, and it can be very, very annoying and trying if we can't get together. If it's kedai to try and get together, and that I would like you know, if that would come out from tonight's shir, that would be like zechelki mekolamoy. That would make the whole zach worthwhile. Poshut, take a few minutes to work out with your chavrusas or by yourselves. Are you doing it in the best possible way? Could you make it yield more? I feel pretty confident that, for example, this etzah which I gave you, learning ahead of time and then getting on with your chavrusa, could be a step in the right direction, maybe not for everybody, but I think it's a good advice. And there may be many other things like that you can do and make adjustments. The basic thing is respect. But that chavrusa hasn't worked yet where the two chavrusas don't respect one another. That's how it came into this. Chachmas ha-miskein b'zuya. We're only human, and we tend not to be machshev the chachma that comes from somebody whom we consider a miskein. A good idea is to not be that way, right? And to not view my chavrusa as a miskein. Makir, he's a ben toiro, somebody whom the Rabbi Hashem loves very much, and who may just have gotten that siyata d'shmaya from the Rabbi Hashem to be mechaven to the emes. Okay, these are some of the machshavas you might want to think about.